Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
What happened the night Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez died?
There needs to be some rest. There needs to be some closure.
We follow the leads on Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and a good Sunday to you. This is the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin, and coming up on today's show, it used to be common practice to dump harmful chemicals, including DDT, into our coastal waters. We talk with the lead investigator with the Environmental Protection Agency about the scope of the problem. And we take a moment to remember Vin Scully and all the time we spent with him. We'll hear from a couple of fathers and sons who share their love of the Dodgers and the legendary announcer. But first, here's a look at what's happening in LA. A new art exhibit at the Glendale Galleria takes the concept of window shopping to a whole new level. The storefront art program uses vacant retail spaces to exhibit local art, allowing people to peer in through the windows into artistic universes of psychedelic prints, light, and collage. Jennifer Fukutomi-Jones with the Glendale Arts and Culture Commission says the idea for the program came about during the pandemic.
We saw a lot of the retail units going out of business and seeing a lot of boarded buildings and vacant units. So one of the ideas that the commission really wanted to pursue is this idea of bringing art everywhere and anywhere.
The works are currently on display at the Glendale Galleria through the end of this month. The San Clemente City Council is backtracking on plans to become a so-called sanctuary of life. It's the result of yesterday's emergency meeting about a resolution against abortion clinics that was introduced last month. Councilmember Steve Knobloch authored the resolution and said the council has a right to weigh in on all public policy issues.
That's my reason for doing it, to protect human life. All children are human and they deserve to be protected. And I think that's vitally important.
But in opposition, here's Councilmember Kathy Ward.
This is not our role. We are not your ministers. We are not your priests. We are not your authority on things like that.
The council voted 3-1 to remove the resolution. We should note that cities don't really have the legal power to make abortions illegal. We'll be right back.
Support for LAist comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting an evening in focus, Goya. The museum's galleries come to life at this interactive event, celebrating the opening of the exhibition, I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. Enjoy live music, art-making activities for all ages, live model drawing, tours, and more. Free with museum admission. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. More information at nortonsimon.org.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Federal regulators have found that DDT pollution in the ocean could be a lot worse than scientists anticipated. After conducting an investigation into the barrels of DDT reportedly dumped decades ago off Catalina Island, the findings are staggering, considering how toxic chemicals like DDT can be to animals and people. Here to talk about the ongoing investigation is John Chestnut, lead on the EPA's investigation into DDT off our coast. Thanks so much for joining us, John.
You're welcome.
Okay, so first of all, can you explain why the heck there are all of these barrels of DDT on our ocean floor off of Catalina to begin with?
Sadly enough, the disposal of waste in the ocean, particularly off of the Southern California area here, was actually allowed and permitted by several regulatory authorities in the 30s up until 1972 when the Federal Ocean Dumping Act was put into play. So unfortunately, there's not just, as you maybe read and heard about dump sites out there, there's not just one dump site we're looking at, but there are 14 dump sites that were used over that period of time. And there's some documentation, it's sort of limited, but it does indicate that significant quantities of drilling waste and other things from Southern California, chemical waste to a lesser degree, radioactive materials, refuse, munitions, a lot of these things were dumped in the ocean, both in drums and via sort of bulk waste streams.
Yikes. Okay, so that's all been down there for a while. What did the EPA set out to investigate, and also why now?
In the 80s was the first time there was a more serious look at these dump sites. There was definitely a stronger environmental ethic at that point. Like, wait, what's going on out here? And one of the main differences between their effort to look at the dump sites in the mid-80s as opposed to now is a lot of the technology, because we're talking about 3,000-foot depth, and they've used some of the latest technology to go down there. It's still very difficult, but we can probably make a better sense of it now. So that's the spirit in which EPA, working with NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, and some state partners, has embarked to see if the residual contamination on the ocean floor is to this day working its way through the food web, affecting marine mammals, birds, and potentially humans that eat fish.
We're talking with John Chestnut with the EPA about DDT in our coastal waters. So let's get into your findings and the scope of the problem.
The largest producer of DDT in the world is Montrose Chemical Corporation, is right up in Torrance, California. EPA has been working on that facility where they manufactured DDT since the 1980s. And given this long history we've had with Montrose Chemical itself, we dug into their files, and we believe Montrose actually did not dispose of DDT in the ocean in barrels. We deposed folks in a court setting back in the 90s, actually, that worked at the site and were supervisors from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And they all unilaterally said, hey, you know, we hired this company to come pump the waste out of big containers at the facility, tanks, put it in tanker trucks, took it to the shore, took it to the harbor, put it into vessels, brought it out, and just opened the spigot and let it drain. And so we're not trying to make a massive distinction between, oh, it's not in barrels and argue over that. But it helps us inform how we want to investigate the situation. If it's in drums, you know, we'll focus on drums. But now we think it was dispersed among the water. It might have migrated through the water in different ways. And that's going to help us inform how we do our sampling, which is really our next step.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very different narrative than I think we've been carrying so far, that these are specifically DDT barrels. So that's, I mean, that's kind of a record scratch for me to understand that the DDT was just let loose into the water and that there are perhaps other chemicals that are either contained or not contained. So, okay, so what happens next?
So we need to get out and really get a sense for what is on the ocean floor, how accessible it is to the microbes down that level that would then work its way through the food chain for the smaller fish, get into the larger fish, the marine mammals, and the extent that people would eat the fish. Is that sort of pathway of the DDT migrating through a food web still exist today? We have evidence that it's in sea lions, it's in dolphins, but is that happening now? So we're going to go out there, one, propose to do some more sonar to see if we can see how widespread this debris field of drums was. Then it'll guide where we focus our sampling, which would be the next phase, to get some actual sediment samples of the bottom of the ocean floor. That helps us understand how deep it is and whether it's covered. If it's buried too deep, then it's not getting into the food web that much anymore.
What would a cleanup potentially look like? Has the EPA ever dealt with a cleanup of this magnitude of having so many thousands of drums that potentially need removal?
No. So when you think about 3,000 feet, again, it's really challenging, both technologically how you do it, and then how to make sense of how DDT is metabolites, how it gets in the body, how it gets in fish and this and that. And so first step, before we talk cleanup, those are a lot of big questions we need to answer through sampling correctly, trying to make sense of it to see if we think any waste on the ocean floor is actually creating this complete exposure pathway to fish and humans. If that's the case, you know, there are extreme pressure down at 3,000 feet. And our experience in shallow waters is you just can't readily just think you can go pick them up. But that's just really farther down the road. We just need to see if what we see at the surface and what's available to the critters and into the food web. But right now, to decide if that's what we would do as the next step.
That's John Chestnut, a manager in the EPA Superfund and Emergency Management Division, lead on the agency's investigation into DDT off of the Southern California coast. John, thanks for taking time to share your work with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening.
Dodgers play the Padres this afternoon, and as the tradition goes, lots of kids are going to enjoy the game with family. Bonding with parents and kids came up a lot when I was talking to fans about the passing of Vin Scully earlier this week. Jeff Liebrick stopped by Dodger Stadium to pay his respects, and he had his 22-year-old son Casey with him.
He's been going since he was 9 weeks old.
And Casey confirmed that Vin's voice has been a part of his whole life.
I watched the 1988 Dodgers championship run VHS tape. The Kurt Gibson call that he had is probably my favorite Vin Scully memory, even though I wasn't alive for it.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Liebrick says enjoying the Dodgers together has been a big part of their relationship.
Baseball's been everything. Dodgers have been everything. Going to Dodger Stadium forever by way of Felipe's for a beef dip.
Rudy Escobar of L.A. also shares his love of the Dodgers with his 7-year-old son, Rhodey. They also stopped by the stadium to say goodbye to Vin Scully.
We brought flowers and a balloon. It's a small balloon that says thank you.
Escobar says his son is a Dodger freak just like him and is also a whiz with stats.
He can recite batting averages and player numbers and, hey, maybe this guy will come up and, you know, be a sports broadcaster one day.
For now, Rhodey has his heart set on being a designated hitter when he grows up. Here's to you, Vin. Thanks so much for the memories. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sunday edition of the LA Report. Suzanne Watley and Nick Roman will be back on Monday with the weekday morning and afternoon editions. Until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and if you can, try to take it easy. I'm Julia Paskin. The LA Report is produced by Michael Cosentino. The Weekend LA Report is edited by Megan Garvey, engineered by Sean Corey Campbell, and the assistant producer is Zoe Kurland. On weekdays, the LA Report is engineered by Brandon Bowles and Tui Mao. Special thanks to the reporters, editors, and the entire KPCC LAist newsroom.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from Ciclovia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclovia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclovia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.